Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. The cantata was entitled The Unfinished Story. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross is finished. Jesus himself uttered the words when he hung on the cross. As he suffered, he said, before he died, it is finished. Why then do we have the unfinished story? You see, the work of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was indeed finished. We do not and we can never, cannot add to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. However, the work of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ in every believer is unfinished. There is this glorification that awaits all of God's children. This unfinished story is not only for each and every child of God, but as long as the Lord has not returned, we are to tell the world of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence is all around us. We look at this world of ours. The title of this evening's sermon is The Creation Finally Restored. See, God is perfect. The world, the heavens and the earth are all made by God. A God who has created the heavens and this earth. When God handed this heaven and this earth over to man to rule his creation, the world was perfect. God said it was very good after he created the world, where the climax of his creation was mankind, Adam and Eve. There was nothing wrong with this world that God has created. That was thousands of years ago. How come the world that we are living in is in such a terrible state? How can a God who has created for mankind such a wonderful world ended up with a world that is full of pain and sorrow and destruction? When we look at the oceans, we cannot help but tremble when we look at the oceans. If the oceans were to cover the earth, we will all be drowned. Too much water can destroy us. But we cannot live without water. We need it. But too much of it, we die. We suffer. These past few days, it has been raining, and the rains has created a lot of what we called, or what the country calls, ponding. Ponding is not a puddle, it's too big to be a puddle, so it's a pond. It's not an ocean, so it's a ponding, everywhere. Some shops have been inconvenienced, some damaged by these water ponding. It's just too much rain. We can't cope with it. And then we look at the heavens. Tornadoes. Change in weather. Too hot, too cold. We suffer. We look at the earth. There is earthquake. There is volcanic eruptions. The whole earth is groaning. It's crying. How can this world be in such a terrible, terrible condition when God who created it said that it was very good? What has happened? The problem is not with the world. The problem is with man. As Romans 8, verse 16 to 25 reveals to us, the problem is man, because God gave the dominion of his creation over to mankind, to Adam. And as the one in charge of God's creation, what Adam did or did not do or failed to do will affect the creation that he was put in charge of. Verse 19 tells us that the creation is right now in captivity, for the earnest expectation of the creature, that is the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creation is waiting for something that God is supposed to do in the sons of God. There would be the Christian, the children of God. Creation is waiting. And while creation is waiting, you look at verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, not by choice, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Now God put all of creation into subjection, into captivity. God did it. Why? Well, verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Because of mankind, when man fell into sin, all creation fell with mankind. That's what happens. The thorns and the thistles, the problems that we see in the ocean, all the calamities that we see in the heavens, and all those catastrophes that we experience on earth with the earthquake and the tsunamis and the volcanic eruptions, all these, our fault. Mankind, yours and mine, because of our sin. You see, animals cannot sin. Mountains cannot sin. They don't have any will of their own. You can't blame the ocean. They are not things. They are not people. We are made in the image of God. We did not evolve from monkeys. We are made in God's image. And God says, because you are made in my image, I have given to you self-determination. You know who you are. You are made to make choices. You have a will. Adam and Eve were given free will. 100% free will. We all do not have free will now. Because Adam and Eve lost it for us. God had to restore this creation to its original form before there was all these calamities and terrible destructions. But God cannot. Not yet, not now. As the narration of the Christmas cantata reminded us that the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is called the first coming because there is going to be a second coming. If there is no second coming, this will not be called the first coming. This will simply be called the only coming of Jesus Christ. The salvation work of Jesus Christ remains to be completed in the lives of all of God's children. You see, right now we do not appear as children of God. They all look at us, the world look at us, and they see us as no different from themselves. There is no outward distinction that marks us out as children of God. Not yet. One day there will be a visible manifestation that when they look at us, they will see that we are different. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, he was different. He was very, very special after his resurrection. When he walked on earth, he was like us. He claimed to be God. He was God. He did many miracles to prove that I am not only 100% man, but even as I walk in your midst, I am God himself. And that's the meaning of Emmanuel. Not that God is in the midst in terms of the tabernacle. When Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ was God incarnate. You mean God himself who created heaven and earth walked in the midst amongst mankind? Yes, he did. In this tiny little piece of real estate called the Promised Land. Today it is called Israel. The tiny little real estate. Jesus Christ walked on that earth. Walked on that piece of land that he created amongst mankind, amongst us. To reveal himself to us. To which end? To restore creation. For he cannot restore creation without first restoring the one who caused creation to be in this terrible state. And that is us. You and me. We are the one to be blamed for the tsunami, for all the tornadoes, for all the earthquakes, for all those terrible volcanic eruptions. We are at fault. You can't blame the earth. We are to be blamed. And God says, I send the Lord Jesus Christ onto this earth to save mankind. And creation is waiting, waiting, waiting for the final climactic act of salvation that God has already completed in Jesus Christ, but not in our lives, not yet. Until the whole world sees us for who we are, visibly manifesting the glory of God outwardly and inwardly, when both are one and the same. Until that day comes, creation will continue to groan. Continue is in captivity. And as long as the Christians are also in captivity in this earthen vessel, as long as we are in this earthen vessel, we will also groan together with creation. Verse 22 to 25. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. They are in agony, in pain together until right now. Even in the days of the Apostle Paul, even right now, 2,000 years later from the time of Paul into our days. And not only they, but ourselves also. Not only creation is groaning, but we are also groaning. And we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now what does it mean to have the first fruits of the Spirit? What it means is this. It's an agricultural term. First fruits will be the first fruits that appear every time before harvesting. Before the rest of the fruits will start to blossom and start to grow and start to ripen. The first fruits. If the first fruits are plentiful, if the first fruits are very rich and juicy and sweet, you know that the rest will be exactly the same. It will be ripe, it will be rich, it will be juicy, it will be very fragrant. The first fruit is the key. Now the Bible says, even though we groan together with the rest of creation, waiting and waiting for the day that God will finally complete His work of salvation in us. Because it is one thing for us to be glorified and live in a world that is still in this terrible condition. It is not good. God cannot create the creation and make it, restore it back to this original condition, and we are still in sin. We are in this terrible state because we're going to mess it up again. So God had to fix us first. The one who caused this world to be in this terrible state. God had to fix us first, restore us first. But as long as we're in this earthen vessel, the Christian is also in captivity like creation, groaning and waiting. But we have the first fruits of the Spirit. The first fruit of the Spirit would be the salvation grace. You mean, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, from our hearts, confess Him with our mouth and believe Him in our hearts, that Jesus Christ died for my sin. Not that He's a Savior of the world. That is not good enough. He must be my personal Savior. You mean every child of God has already experienced this first fruit of the Spirit? Yes. Because we have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. We know that we are children of God. It's just that it is not manifested, made public, made visible yet. We know we are children of God. We don't have to wait for this external manifestation to come upon us before we know that we are children of God. Because we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, the Holy Spirit, who tells us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, the final climax of the saving of our body. Because God never intended any of His children to exist without a corporeal body, a body that is flesh and bones. God never intended us to go through eternity only in spirit form. God says, we wait for the redemption of our body, where the external and the internal will be manifested that this is truly my son, my daughter. It will be seen, it will be visible, but not yet. For we are saved by hope. Now hope is not to be interpreted and understood like our general day-to-day usage of the word hope. I hope to pass my exam. You're not sure whether you'll pass it or not. I hope to climb Mount Everest. You hope, but maybe you can't. You hope only. This word is never to be understood the way that we use it in very loose and general terms. This word hope in the Bible is one of certainty. We hope for the day of the climax of our salvation. Because we are certain that it will take place. It's only a matter of when. It is not a question of if. That is the Bible's understanding and usage of the word hope. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. That means if it's already here, we see it right now, then we don't have to look for it. Because the fact is that it is not yet. That's why we hope for it. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? If we already have it. We don't have it yet. You look at ourselves. We look no different from any unbeliever. There is no halo on your head. You look at all of us. We still have running nose. We still can fall sick. We still struggle. We still have all the weaknesses like everybody else. There is no difference externally. We still depend so much upon this earth to survive. Without water, without food, we will still die like everybody else. We are still very much dependent upon this earth. This body is only suitable for this earth, and we need the supply of the food from this earth to keep this earthen vessel going, keep it alive. That's why it is not yet. Our salvation is finished in Jesus Christ, yes. But the work of salvation of Jesus Christ in us remains to be completed. It is not finished yet. You and I have so much to look forward to. Look at verse 25. For we hope for that we see not yet, but we know it will take place, then do we with patience wait for it. We must wait patiently for it. It is in God's time. We must wait patiently. Now, the question is, how do we wait? That's the question. How do we wait? How have you been waiting? Some people, they tell us that you sell all your barang-barang, sell all your goods, buy some white color bed sheet, make it into some kind of garment, cut a hole there, put it on, and then go up to Mount Faber and you wait. You want to wait like that? God says, don't follow such charlatans. This wait is for God to make it happen. God's timing is in His hand. And what do we do while we wait? There is so much to do as God's children. We have to go out firstly to witness, to tell the world about Jesus Christ. There are still many out there who remains unsaved, still sinners in need of salvation. It may be your family members, it may be your loved ones. You and I have to go out there while we wait for that day to come, and it will come suddenly, very suddenly, and you and I must not be caught unawares. Because God has already told us, this is our blessed hope. We know it will come, it will take place. And since we know it will take place, we know the time we can serve Him are short, it's numbered. And because it is numbered, you and I must consider them as very precious. Anything that has a limitation must be to us very precious. Because it is limited. If we don't use it, don't spend it well, the time that God has given to us, it will be wasted forever. And so the first thing we must do is to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ with our mouth. Secondly, we must back up what we say by our lives. We must live a life that is holy and true and honest before God and before all men, according to Holy Scriptures. And to do that, to sustain this, that our lives will be holy even as we ask God to give us the courage to tell others about Jesus Christ, we must make sure that we know God. We must make sure that we are ourselves born again. And not only are we born again, but we are mature Christians. So that we will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that is spreading across Christendom today. There are all sorts of Christianity. Your work and my work in fulfilling God's great commission. While Jesus is waiting and waiting. He wants to come. We are waiting. The creation is groaning. We are groaning. Waiting and waiting. We must be busy. We have to go out and tell others. But to do that, we have to equip ourselves so that we will not become a casualty. We live in an age and a time where Christianity is worldwide. It's global. And it is so confusing because of the internet. Everybody claims to be a Christian. And there are all sorts of Christianity today. Many of them are false. The charismatics are false. The Roman Catholics are false. You can evaluate them against God's holy word. And if you and I are not firmly rooted and grounded in God's word, you and I can become a casualty as we wait. as you can see in the churches around us. It is truly an unfinished story. God tells us the creation is groaning and waiting for restoration. But unless and until I come and restore mankind, all of God's children, with glorification. You look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We know that we are really children of God. You see, that is the hope. We know we are children of God. That's a certainty. We are now hoping for the climax of our salvation, that is glorification. Look, if children, then we know we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Because this world will hate you. This world is in darkness. God will finally restore this creation. When will that day come? When Christians are glorified, that we may be glorified together. That means Christ is already glorified. He is our first fruit. He is glorified. He is our guarantee. He is glorified. So all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will also be glorified. That is God's promise. That is God's promise. That's why we have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ is glorified. So will we. And when glorification comes, creation will all be restored by God. And therefore we are surrounded by evidence upon evidence upon evidence that God who made this earth, He is perfect. How can this world be in such a terrible state? We caused it because of our sin. Don't blame anything. Don't blame the mountains. Don't blame anyone. Don't blame Mother Nature. She is not Mother Nature. She is just nature created by God. It is not alive. We are at fault. As long as man does not want to acknowledge that he is at fault, man will not change. Same. As long as you do not recognize that you are a sinner, you will not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. That kind of self-delusion will ruin your life for eternity. Because if you die in your sin, you will end up in hell. This is God's promise. This is the reality. God will punish sinners without exception. And it's because of our sin that this world is in such a state. That's why this world, this creation is groaning. Look around us. Just yesterday, isn't it? Christchurch just had another earthquake. A series of earthquakes. Now, people are trembling. They were interviewing one lady on BBC. And while they were talking to her, she was yelling and screaming that there is another earthquake. I have to run. I have to go. Life on BBC. It's our fault that all these things are happening. As long as you and I do not recognize this and admit it, we will not change. And we will remain in a state of sin. And then we die in our sin. We will end up in hell. Because we will be punished. How can God not punish us for all the terrible things that we have done on this earth? We have done it to one another. We've done it to ourselves. We've done it to God's creation. You look around us. This world is in such a bad state. It's our fault. Don't blame God. Blame us. We are at fault. But God says, I will restore. I will restore first my children, sons and daughters of the Most High God will be glorified. And when that glorification comes, all of creation will be restored to its pristine condition where man will live on earth for hundreds of years again. That's what God says. God will do it. It is only a matter of time. This world of ours is decaying. This world of ours will implode. We are making a mess of it. You think our economy will turn around and it will be blossoming again? It will not. Everything is going to explode. We have created a mess that cannot be cleaned up by us. Only God can do it. And God has. When God sent Jesus Christ onto this earth, to die for our sins. And the beginning of the cleansing must begin with us, with you, with me. And once your sins and my sins have been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, you wait. When the glorification comes, everything, creation, will be restored. Christmas Day, as you can hear and see from the cantata, is not about Santa Claus, it's not about Christmas tree. It's about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? The evidence is in your life. The evidence is all around us. We are sinners. We are in a mess. Only God can help us. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, through the cantata that we have witnessed and through the word of everlasting life. Perchance there may be some, O Lord, who are here tonight, who are outside Christ, who are in need of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the evidence is all around us when we look at creation, it's in such a terrible state. How could God Almighty, the perfect God, create a world that is in such a terrible condition? And yet, O Lord, we know from Thy Holy Scriptures that it was man who sinned and brought about this terrible mess to the creation which Thou hast given man to rule over. Help us, O Lord, as Your blood-bought children, that even as we await for the soon return of our Savior, for the climax of our salvation, which is glorification, to become a reality in our lives, help us to be busy in the business of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And for those who are outside Christ, O Lord, may Thou be merciful to speak to their hearts and use us and send us forth to do Thy bidding, not only during the Christmas season, but every moment of every day, for we know the days where we can serve Thee are truly numbered. For our hope is real, for our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our first fruits, whom we have already experienced in our hearts. For we have the indwelling of the Spirit of God to testify to our spirit that we are now children of the Most High God. O Lord, we have so much to look forward to, so much to live for. Help us to go out and live for the Savior. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Jim said.